Good morning, church. Are you ready to sing and praise the Lord this morning? Let's stand. Let's open up in prayer. Father, we thank you once again that we can be here in church. And Father, once again, we have songs that you have had faithful men and women write over the years. And now, Father God, we want to go straight to your throne room here this morning without any further ado to press in immediately to you. So, Father, as we come to you now in spirit and in truth, precisely the way that you want us to come, we know you're going to meet us here once again. And we just thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner, it must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead, till every foe is vanquished, and Christ is Lord indeed. Stand up for Jesus, the trumpet call obey. For to the mighty conflict in this his glorious day, ye that are men now serve him against unnumbered foes. Let courage rise with danger and strength to strength oppose. Stand up for Jesus, stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you, ye dare not trust your own. Put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer. Where duty calls or danger, be never wanting there. Stand up for Jesus, the strife will not be long. This day the noise of battle, the next the victor's song. To him that overcometh, a crown of life shall be. He with the King of glory shall reign eternally.
I really like verse 3 this week. It says, stand up for Jesus, stand in his strength alone. I even mess up in this. Why? Because the arm of flesh will ultimately fail you. You dare not trust your own. That's one thing that we all have in common is we go at it a little ways and eventually we all crumble and fall. And then we say, God, help me. And he is faithful and he does that. Stand up then.
Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall its praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free. For the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful, the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea. Higher than the mountains, sparkling like a fountain, all-sufficient grace for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise his name. Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching to all the lost. been pardoned, saved to the uttermost. Chains have been torn asunder, giving me liberty. For the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountains, sparkling like a fountain, all-sufficient grace for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise His name. Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching the most defiled. By its transforming power, making him God's dear child, purchasing peace and heaven for all eternity. And the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea, higher than the mountains, sparkling like a fountain, all-sufficient grace for even me. Broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise His name.
Amen.
If someone were to ask you, what's so amazing about grace? Could you answer them?
Is the Lord our God, great and mighty is He. Great and mighty is the Lord our God, great and mighty is He. Lift up the trumpet, let the anthems bring praises to our King. Great and mighty is the Lord our God, great and mighty is He. Know ye not, you're the temple. Know ye not, you're the temple. Know ye not, you're the temple. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Filled with praise, filled with power, filled with glory. Filled with praise, filled with power, filled with glory. Filled with praise, filled with power, filled with glory. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Yes I am, I'm the temple. Yes I am, I'm the temple. Yes I am, I'm the temple. I am the temple of the Holy Ghost. Filled with praise, filled with power, filled with glory. Filled with praise, filled with power, filled with glory. Filled with praise, filled with power, filled with glory. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Great and mighty is the Lord our God. Great and mighty is He. Great and mighty is the Lord our God. Great and mighty is He. Lift up the trumpet, let the anthems bring praises to our King. Great and mighty is the Lord our God. Great and mighty is He. Thank you.
so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm redeemed, praise the Lord. The Lord reigneth, the Lord reigneth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. For the Lord our God omnipotent reigneth in majesty. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm redeemed, praise the Lord. The Lord reigneth, the Lord reigneth. Blessed be the name of the Lord. For the Lord our God omnipotent reigneth in majesty. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm redeemed, praise the Lord.
You agree with that?
Hallelujah.
Go and share it with each other this morning.
Blessed be the name of the Lord, for the Lord our God omnipotent reigneth in majesty. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I'm redeemed, praise the Lord. There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, precious reviving again. Over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Thirsty drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, send them upon us, O Lord. Grant to us now a refreshing, come and now honor thy word. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, oh, that today they might fall. Now is to God we're confessing, now is on Jesus we call. Showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, if we but trust and obey. There shall be seasons refreshing, if we let God have His way. Showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead.
Indeed, verse 5 says that we'll be showers of blessing if we but trust and obey, and if we let God have His way. I was reminded of that song, Have Thine Own Way, Lord, right? And many times I sing, Have Mine Own Way, Lord, right? But this is what the song's talking about, if we let God have His way.
Marvelous message we bring, glorious carol we sing, wonderful word of the King, Jesus is coming again, coming again, coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, and maybe soon. Is coming again. Forest and flower exclaim, mountain and meadow the same, all earth and heaven proclaim, Jesus is coming again. Coming again, coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, and maybe soon. Jesus is coming again. Standing before Him at last, trial and trouble all past, crowns at His feet we will cast. Jesus is coming again. Coming again. Coming again. Maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe evening, and maybe soon. Coming again, coming again. Oh, what a wonderful day it will be. Jesus is coming again.
Hallelujah.
Tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story because I know 'tis true. It satisfies my longings as nothing else can do. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story, more wonderful it seems than all the golden fancies of all our golden dreams. I love to tell the story, it did so much for me. And that is just the reason I tell it now to thee. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story, 'tis pleasant to repeat. What seems each time I tell it, more wonderfully sweet. I love to tell the story, for some have never heard the message of salvation from God's own holy word. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story for those who know it best, seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And when in scenes of glory I sing the new, new song, 'twill be the old, old story that I have loved so long. I love to tell the story. 'Twill be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and His love.
Blessed be your name, blessed be your name, O Lord. Blessed be your name, O Lord. You are worthy to be praised and adored. So we lift up holy hands in one accord, singing, blessed be your name, blessed be your name, blessed be your name, O Lord. Blessed be your name, O Lord. You are worthy to be praised and adored. So we lift up holy hands in one accord, singing, blessed be your name, blessed be your name, blessed be your name, O Lord. Sins away, and now I sing a brand new song, amazing grace. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owe a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, amazing grace. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owe a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, amazing grace. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owe a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, amazing grace. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay.
Jesus will be there, we are going to see the King. Jesus will be there, we are going to see the King. Jesus will be there, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. No more sickness there, we are going to see the King. No more sickness there, we are going to see the King. No more sickness there, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. Our loved ones will be there, we are going to see the King. Our loved ones will be there, we are going to see the King. Our loved ones will be there, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going to see the King.
Amen.
Indeed. We are going to see him.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be His than have riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be hid by His nail-pierced hand than to be the King of a vast domain, for beheld in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. I'd rather have Jesus than men's applause. I'd rather be faithful to His dear cause. I'd rather have Jesus than worldwide fame. I'd rather be true to His holy name than to be the King of a vast domain. For beheld in sin's dread sway, I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today. He's fairer than lilies, the rarest bloom. He's sweeter than honey from out of the comb. He's all that my hungering spirit needs. I'd rather have Jesus and let Him lead than to be the King of a vast domain, for beheld in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
Amen.
You know, you think about that. Satan comes along and he offers us trinkets, glass beads, useless stuff. And we go, oh, look, it's so pretty. It's shiny. And we're mesmerized by it. Maybe for a little while, maybe for our whole life. But that's what this song is about. I'd rather have Jesus than anything else that Satan can offer me.
Just praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hands to heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's just lift our to heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just love the Lord, love the Lord. Let's just lift our hands to heaven and love the Lord. Let's just love the Lord, love the Lord.
Let's just lift our hands to heaven and love the Lord. Let's just serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. Let's just lift our hands to heaven and serve the Lord. Let's just serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. Let's just lift our hands to heaven and serve the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hands to heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hands to heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just love the Lord. Love the Lord. Let's just lift our hands to heaven and love the Lord. Let's just love the Lord. Love the Lord. Let's just lift our hands to heaven.
Let us give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I don't hear you. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. Bless the name of Jesus. Glorify the name of Jesus. Lift up the name of Jesus, for Jesus lifted us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we are going to rejoice and be glad in it. We are going to rejoice and be glad in it. And Lord, we ask you today to have it your way. Not our way, but your way, we pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let the day the high praises of God in our mouth and the two-edged sword in our hands. Let us bless the Lord at all times and his praise be continually in our mouth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise his holy name. As we are about to receive this offering today, we know Jesus is the Jehovah Jireh. God is the Jehovah Jireh. He is a provider. He is the God that shall supply all our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. In Psalms 112 it says that blessed is the man that feareth the Lord and delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be blessed upon the earth. Wealth and riches shall be in his house. And his righteousness endures forever. And he goes on to say, he will not be afraid of evil tidings, for his heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is a source. He is a source. He is the one and only source. And let us seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto us. Also in Deuteronomy, 8:18, it says, it is God that give us the power to get wealth. It is He that give us the power to get wealth. In the name of Jesus, praise His holy name. Praise the name of Jesus. And let us eyes be upon Him. Let us set our affections on things which are above and not things of this earth. Hallelujah. For every good thing and every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and it comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness, neither is there a shadow of turning. Neither is there a shadow of turning. So we know now who our source is. His name is Jesus. His name is Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise His holy name. The Bible says, he that soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. But he that soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. So every man, as they purpose in their heart, let them give, not grudgingly, not of a necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Amen. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always have all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. And Lord, we thank you today for providing for every need. Providing for the needs of this church, we pray in the name of Jesus. We ask you today that you bless every giver, not in this congregation only, but those, O Lord, who watching us through the internet, through the webcast, we pray all over the world. Thank you for blessing them, Lord. Thank you, Lord. That wealth and riches shall be in their house, we pray today, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for being a provider. We pray, O Lord, for the anointing upon the pastors. He will bring the message to us. Touch him mightily, we pray, in the name of Jesus. Give him freedom to preach and let the word come out with power and pierce us like a two-edged sword. Touch everyone that gives a testimony today. Touch Thomas as he gives the invitation. And we thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father. Let your name be glorified in every area of this ministry, we pray. And we give you all the praise. We give you all the glory, all the honor. And pray this prayer in Jesus' precious and mighty name. And all God's children said, amen. Amen.
At this time, the people at Resurrection Life of Jesus Church are giving their tithes and offerings as part of the worship service. You too can participate even if you're not physically with us by writing out a check and mailing it, or using the donation link at the bottom of the homepage. Please remember that God uses His people to finance His work on this earth. God gives us the ability to work and make money, and in return asks that His people give back a tenth. Thank you for being obedient and being part of our service.
I'm going to give a little extra message here. And if you have your Bible with you, turn to me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews, the 10th chapter. We're going to pick it up in verse number 26. This week, a great man of God passed away from this earth, David Wilkerson. I consider him to be a true prophet. He was a true prophet when he was here on earth. Now, you know, Jesus said that no man is a prophet when he is in his life here on earth. And when David Wilkerson was here on earth, in the 1970s, he was highly favored in most American churches. Everyone wanted David Wilkerson to come. But then he began to prophesy. He wrote a book called The Vision. He wrote another book, Set Your Temple to Your Mouth. And he began to talk about judgment on America. And you know what happened? The Assemblies of God, other churches, simply says, well, he doesn't fit our format anymore. And David Wilkerson actually was shunned for many years. Now, today, everybody wants to get to the bandwagon and say how great he was. I have wrestled, and what I share with you now is not coming easy. This last week, we have probably seen the most devastating hurricanes in our lifetime in the United States. As of today, the death toll is 340 people, and there are many more that are unaccounted for. We have seen the last 3-4 years, fires here in California, floods. We have floods right now in the Midwest. We've seen hurricanes wipe out huge parts of the United States and out of tornadoes. And I believe that we can no longer ignore this. We can no longer ignore and say, well, you know, this is a coincidence or it's caused by this or caused by that. I believe that God has a selective judgment right now on this nation. And we need to simply pay attention. I wrote this down, and I was amazed when I wrote this down. I wrote this: fires, floods, hurricanes, tornadoes, and then my hand wrote, next will be earthquakes. I believe that God is going to allow an earthquake to hit us here in California, Oregon, and maybe even up into Washington State. And this time, it will be a devastating one. Can we hold back judgment? And the answer is yes. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 26, we read this. For if we sin willfully, after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy to 2 or 3 witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose you, shall he be thought worthy, who has trodden underfoot the Son of God, and has counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, and has done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that has said, vengeance belongs unto me. I will recompense, says the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. During World War II, the American churches were filled with people. And prayers were said for our servicemen, for the Nazis to be defeated, for the Japanese to be defeated, and that evil would be pushed back. God blessed America. God heard our prayers. And the Nazis were defeated, the Japanese were defeated. And 12 million men that were under arms came back home to the United States again. And the United States had the greatest financial blessing beginning in 1946 and on. We prospered tremendously. And we had a financial bonanza. How do we use that? I was not even here in the country when that happened. But instead of thanking God, people left the churches. We took away in the 60s the Bible from the school. We could not read it public in school. We took away prayer from school. And in 1973, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that mass murder is legal in the United States and abortion was a fact. Today, 60 million Americans are dead. 60 million. Today, people are drinking, eating, having a good time, sinning. The bars are full. The dance places are full. Hollywood is pushing out its sewer. And how long do you think that we as a nation can spit God in the eye and say, God, this is how we want to live? Have you realized that the most severe judgment has been on the Bible Belt and the Midwest? Why? Because this is where Christianity was the strongest. In the Bible Belt, most Baptist preachers are Freemasons. And they're serving two gods. Actually, they're serving Beelzebub or Lucifer. And then they go to church, putting lip service in. And we find that a lot of our churches have got into all kind of stupid things. Barking, hissing, running around as snakes, slithering on the floor, all kind of things, gold flakes coming down, false doctrine. You look upon our television evangelists, as you look upon them every time it is, we need more money, seed phase, $1,000, give, give, give. And they have all these gimmicks. But there's no substance in their preaching. Judgment begins with God's people. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. That's 1 Peter, the 4th chapter. 1 Peter and chapter 4. And you pick it up in verse number 17. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what should the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And is the righteous scarcely be saved? Where should the ungodly, the sinner, appear? We see our president on television going down to Alabama. And you know the words he's speaking is this. We are going to rebuild. Rebuild, rebuild, rebuild. The word should be we are going to repent. Pastors, deacons, elders, Sunday school teachers, we need to put a message out. We need to repent as a nation, as congregations, to stand, to stay off the hand of God. God is a God of love. We know that. He's a God of grace and forgiveness. But he's also a righteous God who will punish sin. Revelation 16:11, 16:1. That's Revelation chapter 16. If you pick it up in verse number 1. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth. God is love, but he's also God of judgment. He judged Israel very hard, his own people. God used the flood to punish all people except Noah and his family. Turn quickly to Genesis chapter 6. That's Genesis, the 6th chapter. If you pick it up in verse number 5. And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air. For it repenteth me that I made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. When did you hear Joel Osteen preach on that passage of the Bible last time? Well, some of the other prosperity preachers, they don't bring that out. They don't bring out that part of God. Now turn to chapter 7. And you pick it up in verse number 21. That's Genesis 7:21. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast and of every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth, and every man. All whose nostrils were the breath of life, of all that was in a dry land died. And every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle, and the creeping things and the fowl of the heaven. And they were destroyed from the earth. And Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. God is not sentimental. God has to judge sin because he is righteous. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 24. That's 2 Samuel, the 24th chapter. I'm going to pick this up here in verse number 10. 2 Samuel 24, verse number 10. And David's heart smote him after he had numbered the people. And David said to the Lord, I have sinned greatly in that I have done, and now I beseech you, Lord, take away the iniquity of your servant. For I have done very foolishly. For when David was up in the morning, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Gad, David's seer, or prophet, saying, go and say to David, thus is the Lord, I offer you three things. Choose the one of them, that I might do it unto you. So Gad came to David and said to him, shall 7 years of famine come unto you in the land? Or will you flee 3 months before your enemies, while they pursue you? Or that there be 3 days pestilence in your land? Now advise, and see what answer I shall return to him that sent me. Have you read it before? God said, I'm going to punish you. You got a choice. You want number 1, 2, or 3. David said to Gad, I'm in a great strait. Let us fall into the hand of the Lord. For his mercies are great, let me not fall into the hand of man. So the Lord sent a pestilence upon Israel from the morning even to the time appointed, and there died of the people from Dan even to Beersheba 70,000 men. God said there's going to be a judgment. 70,000 men had to die because of the sin of King David. When the angel stretched out his hand upon Jerusalem, to destroy it, the Lord repented of the evil and said to the angel, destroy the people. It is enough. Stay down your hand. And the angel of the Lord was by the threshing place of Arunah, the Jebusite. This is where we are today. The angel of the Lord has his sword out. And we need to pray and ask him to stay it. But you see, most people and pastors and Christians do not believe that we are judged right now. They simply says, oh, well, you know, this just nature. Global warming, Al Gore, they blame it on anyone. But we need to understand, this is serious. I received several emails this morning from people that we have in the Midwest, in the South. I'm going to read some of them to you when we have prayer time today. Out of this devastation. Let me take you now to my final scripture on this, 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Now, bringing out a message like this is not going to make this church seeker friendly. It is not going to help the offering in the church. And it's going to be a lot of people that simply says, well, you know, I can't stand that guy. You know, he's too negative. I'm going to turn to some other channel, whatever it is. That's a problem. The people in Alabama, Mississippi, and the other places, that Georgia, when those tornadoes came in, hundreds of them, they couldn't tune to another channel and says, well, we don't believe in that tornado. Let's tune to something nicer. When judgment comes, it comes. But here's the good news. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse number 13. Have you read this? 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse number 13. And I'm there. If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, notice now, God is not calling out for the alcoholics, the drug dealers, the people are living in sin. He's not calling for them. He says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. I'm just a small pastor in the town of Sacramento, California. But I'm doing what God told me to yesterday. I've done what I can. I'm calling on this congregation. I'm calling upon myself to repent, to ask God for forgiveness, to press forward in, and to begin to pray more and seeking the Lord to win the lost and get the word of Jesus out. Do you realize that if you go to an average church, that prayer is probably 2% of a church? If you have too much prayer on Sunday morning, people will not come back. They say they're praying too long. We can't stand it. You have prayer meeting during the week. And here's a rule that I learned when I was in seminary. You take the Sunday morning congregation and you divide that in half, and that's what you have Sunday night. You take Sunday night and divide it in half, and that's what you got on prayer meeting Wednesday night. I've been in the ministry 46 years. It's true. That's a shame. God talked about his house as a house of prayer. We do everything in the house except prayer. We say a little prayer here and there, yonder. But we really need to pray. So I'm going to ask this congregation to stand right now. And you that are watching us, if you would stand where you are, and we're going to pray right now. My Heavenly Father, I have done the best I can to my ability. And this lisping, stammering tongue, I try to share that we are under judgment. And Father God, as a congregation, as Americans, we ask you, forgive us for 60 million dead babies. Forgive us for letting the homosexuals loose in this country. Forgive us, Father God, for destroying our marriages. Forgive us for the drugs we've been taking, for the booze we've been drinking, for the sports we got involved in. We left you, Lord. We've done everything under the sun except sought you. Father God, today we humble ourselves. Have you really mean it? Forgive us as a nation. Forgive us, Lord. Have mercy upon us. And Father, spare our land. We pray for the people, Father, that this week lost their homes, lost loved ones. Console them, Father God. Minister to them. And I thank you, Lord, that you heard this prayer. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. We can have a prayer time. You want to stay up here and pray with us? You stay right there with us. We got a number of prayer requests here today. We got a Finnish Swedish. She's from Finland, but actually Finnish Swedish. Political activist. Her name is Yrsa Hegström. And she's in need of prayer. She has a tremendous big website in the Scandinavian countries. And they probably have hundreds of thousands of hits monthly. She's only one kidney. And this is now beginning to fail. As far as I know, Yrsa is not saved. And we need to pray for salvation and healing for her. She's currently very tired and discouraged. So we're going to pray for her. We're going to pray for, this is Barney, is still in rehab. These are the people in Ronald Park. He's come down with pneumonia, and his mouth is covered with sores, which are very contagious. I, Betty, is doing better with my sprained foot and leg. I also have trouble with diarrhea. I desire your prayers. And this family support our ministry with a gift every month since 1975. Oil finished this week at $113.93 per barrel. This is up $1.64 this last week. Some refineries have shut down what is called routine maintenance, which is used by the oil company to allow inventory of gasoline to drop, which in turn will force the price of gasoline up. This is the game the oil company played for years, and they are getting away with it. And the dollar lost more of its value last week, down about 0.5%. And this was from Barbados. Sheldon, he was delivered via telephone a few weeks, maybe a month ago. And he said this, I just want to thank you and your team for helping me through my deliverance. I should have emailed you before, but I hope I'm not too late in sending my regards. There is a church in Barbados I am having a look at. I have not made any firm decision as becoming a member, and I'm having some serious thoughts about it. I accompany my wife to her church at times, but not on a regular basis, as I do not want her to feel I was abandoning her in any way, but my spirit is not with this congregation. That pastor is in witchcraft. I am still tuning in to hear your wonderful sermons, which have helped me tremendously, and will continue to support you because I believe in your ministry. Say hello to DiCarlo. Hear that, Joe? And Soteris, for me, yours in Christ, Sheldon. So we're going to praise God for that. I got two emails here, and this is from the tornadoes. And this was sent in from a lady that simply said this. This is a friend. Sue, the one I correspond with over the phone from Minnesota, lives in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, where the tornado wiped out the town. She has no power, but their house is still standing, but a block away there's nothing left. They have been locked down until today, Saturday, no power. They were not allowed to leave or come back if they did leave, so they stayed home. And then this is what the lady wrote, Sue. This is a response I received. We are okay. The tornado passed us while we were in our basement. Blew open a door, but didn't harm us or our property. Only one block away, there is nothing left. We've been locked down today. No power. Not allowed to leave or come back if you do leave. We'll be able to come and go today. I'm at the public library. Entire town in deep mourning. And this one here is heartbreaking. Tom Lee was a man who always had a spark in his eyes and a gospel message on his tongue. His family is one of those that people describe as energy givers. When Tom, his bride, and his family of 13 children would arrive in town, it always meant encouragement. Last night, as tornado storm winds approached the Lee home in Alabama, Tom gathered his wife and 13 children in a den. They huddled and they prayed. 2 minutes later, the tornado descended upon them. The house was instantly destroyed as beams and cinder blocks rained down upon them. But in his last great act of fatherhood, Tom Lee had a presence of mind to throw himself on the top of his children, including his firstborn son, Jordan. Looking up at his father, Jordan saw the blood in his father's mouth and witnessed as the breath began to leave his father, but was able to hear the last words of his father's crying out to God for the safety of his family. Then the spirit left the body of Tom Lee. There were other injuries, including children trapped under piano between beams. Medical assistance was nowhere in sight for many hours. There was due too much damage in the valley, too few support teams, and inaccessibility was a problem. Eventually they came. The children survived, but some of them are still in the hospital. So we're going to pray for this here today. So those of you that like to come and pray normally with me, you come.
Father God, we want to thank you, Lord, that we haven't had to go through all that disaster here where we live. And so we are grateful for that, Lord. And we know that it was unbelievable back there. And major death and devastation. And we thank you, Father God, that we know about this man, Tom Lee, who was born again. So he's already in your presence, Lord. And so that's a little light in a bad story. excuse me. We lift up his children to you that are in the hospital. And we thank you for a speedy healing and recovery, Lord. And that they will continue in their father's footsteps to spread the gospel. We thank you, Father, for meeting the needs of that family in every facet, spiritual, financial, medical. All needs will be met. They will come out strong and be able to finish strong on the earth. In Jesus' name, amen.
So I will pray for Irsa Hegstrom, that is that lives in Scandinavia. And as far as I understand, she is not saved. And so I pray, my Heavenly Father, that you will convict this woman. Convict her of her sins, Jesus. And I pray, Jesus, that there will be someone close to her that you can send to her so that she can be led to salvation. And she also has only one kidney, Jesus. I know you can do miracles. There's no problem there. I pray, Jesus, that after she's been saved, that you will heal her so that her body has all the organs in it that it needs to have, and that her organs are well and can be in usable condition. I pray, my Heavenly Father, that you will have your hand on her life and that she will become a Christian woman and that will be serving you. In Jesus' name.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just come to you, Lord God, giving you all the praise and honor and glory for this day, Lord God. Thanking you for the ability to be free in America, to be able to come before you, Lord God, and pray over issues in this world and issues in America, Lord God. Sheldon Spencer, I'm praising God for him that he went through deliverance and he was bold enough to know that he needed to have deliverance in his life. And Lord God, I just pray that you help him to find the right church that will be able to help him and guide him and direct him in the way that he needs to go. And to be able to stay steadfast in his deliverance and to guard it with every ounce of breath he has in his life. As well for us here in California that have gone through deliverance that we need to do ourselves. We need to guard ourselves against what is out there in the world. And to know that we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. Most importantly of all things, we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. And we need to know that we need to stay steadfast in the Word and read the Word and to pray and ask God to help us to repent in our lives and to do what is right. And to know that we are upon troubled times in America and throughout the world. And Lord God, I just pray that you help us to realize that we need you in our life. And we need to know that the only way we're going to be able to stand in the evil days is with you, Father God. Ephesians 6:12-13, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. That's what we need in our lives. And that's what we need as people to help other people to come to know you as your personal Savior, Lord God. And Jesus, your Son. And thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being in me and strengthening in me to know that this is some troubled issues in the world. I give you all the praise and honor and glory, Lord God, and humble me to do your will. In Jesus' name, amen.
Heavenly Father, I ask you for your help, Lord, to help me how to pray, O Lord, about this oil crisis. I would like everyone to stretch your hands in agreement that God is going to move against those oil companies and the prices, instead of going up, they're going to start going down in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we know you are in control. There's no crisis in heaven. All you need to do, say the word, and the oil is going to crumble down. The price of the oil is going to crumble. And we want to thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father. And now we want to say, like David said, when he was facing Goliath, he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that will defy the people of God, the armies of the living God? We want to say this today about those banksters, about those manipulators, the speculators, in the name of Jesus. Who are they that will be those wretched people that will defy and will come against the people of God? And in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, no one will be able to do anything against the Lord our God. And we thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father, you above all. you are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And we want to thank you today that the Lord will lay this need at your altar. And we pray, O Lord, that your will be done. And in the meantime, we're going to wait upon the Lord. And the Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord, he shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. And Lord, we want to say today that we're going to wait upon you. We're going to trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding. And in all our ways acknowledge you. And you shall direct our path. And we praise you and thank you, O Lord, for a mighty victory in this need, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
And Father God, we lift up Barney and Betty Williamson in Ronert Park. They've been supporting our ministry since 1975, and we support them in prayer. And I have a suggestion. He has pneumonia covered with sores, which is contagious. I pray that he lift up his needs to the Lord. Surrender everything to Jesus Christ. And Betty, surrender your sprained foot and leg. Just release it to God. Do not say anything negative. Don't say, oh, my foot hurts, oh, my leg hurts, or my mouth is hurting. Don't say those things. Say, thank you, Jesus, for healing me. And release everything to the Lord. And you see what happens. And we thank you and praise you, Father God, that all these things will be taken care of by the Lord Jesus Christ. They're faithful to you, Lord Jesus, and we know you're going to be faithful to them in healing them. In everything that they have going on, that if they become net positive and stop speaking negatives, the devil doesn't get any credit, and he will leave them. He'll leave them alone. And we thank you and praise you, Father God, for healing each person in the family that nothing can transfer from one to the other. In the name of Jesus, we thank you and praise you, Father God, for your supernatural prowess and your healing by the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name.
Father God, we thank you for Robin's note from telling us about her friend Sue in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, and the devastation there from the tornadoes, Lord. Father, we just thank you for Sue's protection, that you preserved her house, even though most of them around her were taken out. And Father, we don't know why some are saved and some are not, and we do know that you protect your children. Sometimes you do that, Lord, and you have your reasons if you want them to continue on with the ministry. Father God, we ask you to help her now and help her family and those around her that are still there, that have no homes. And Father, we ask that you provide food for them and water, clean water, and the necessities of life, Lord God, that they can recover, that they can come back, that they will turn their eyes upon Jesus and direct their attention to why did this happen and believe that your judgments are true. And Father God, let them repent if they need to. Let them all turn their hearts to Jesus, and let those Christians that are down there, that whether they've been wiped out or not, minister to those who are around them that need help, that don't know Jesus, that don't have anything to turn to, that have no hope. And now their physical things are destroyed. Let them turn their hope and their hearts to Jesus. And understand that he is the only one that matters. That is the only thing that matters, is where you stand with him. If you belong to Jesus, it doesn't matter if the world falls away around you. It doesn't matter what happens. As long as you are with Jesus, you never will be separated from him. So we thank you, Father, for helping these people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you right now for these prayers. On the altar in heaven, smoke has come up before you, and they shall be answered. And I want to thank you, Father God, that by tomorrow we shall be able to have enough money, we can pay the rent for the month of April, Lord, that we get to behind us, so we'll be able to keep our facilities here, Lord. And we thank you, we praise you for that now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated.
Okay, we're going to take a moment for testimonies, if anyone has a testimony today.
Well, I want to thank the Lord for being here today and for all his goodness and his mercy. And I have a praise report. Some time back, the church prayed for me that I might be able to have a day job because I worked overnight for so long. Well, just recently, I finally got a day position. Don't have to work overnight anymore. So I'm well rested and praise God for that. And that for me was a real, I mean, it really brought me closer to God. Working at night at the place that I work, you see a lot that comes into the store. And there were some days where, you know, I was just so tired, and but still, I would say, God is good. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy. And so I thank the Lord for that. I keep on praising him every day. More to that experience, a while ago, I had come to a Bible study. Well, I come to a Bible study. I hadn't had that much sleep during the day, but I was like, I want to go to the Bible study. Went there and talked to Pastor John afterwards, and everything was just kind of stumbling down to my car. And Pastor John had pulled up behind me and said, "Are you heading to work?" I was like, "Well, yes, I am." He just said, God bless you. Have a good night at work. Well, I got in my car, was driving out, got on the road, and tears started to fill my eyes. I told God, "God, it's hard. It's really hard." And this sweet spirit just came over me. Like you would not believe, and told me, "Just a little bit longer. It's going to be okay." And you know what? I was like, "All right, it's going to be okay." And later on, in God's perfect timing, because like that song that we sing, he makes all things beautiful in his time, I finally was able to change in my position. And so I thank the Lord for that. Another experience that I had was just earlier this week. My sister-in-law and my brother are living at my parents' house. And some time ago, like about 5 or 6 months ago, her car, she didn't have enough money to pay the registration on it, so it just basically had to be parked and sat for 5 months. Well, I was out in the yard working, doing something out in the yard, and I thought, I need to get that car working. It's been sitting for 5 months. That's not good for it. So I told her, I got a project to do. I'm going to try and get your car working. She's like, "Well, I don't know. It's been sitting for 5 months. The computer's probably shot. It's probably this. It's probably that and all that and the other thing." I thought, no. I was like, I'm going to try and, tweak around with it a little bit and see if I can get it to work. So anyway, and I was really praying, asking God. I was like, "You have got to do something." I was like, "If that car doesn't work for them, they're in even worse shape." I thought, God, and so I prayed about that too. I thought, "Heavenly Father, I bind anything that would come against that car, and in the name of Jesus, please let it start." Because I thought, God, how much more? So went out there, got the battery charger for it, popped the hood, put the battery charger on there. I thought, there's going to be a blessing. The Holy Spirit came over me. It was like, "Don't worry, it's going to be okay." Went out there, put the charger on it. I thought, "God, please, you got to let it work." Went and told her, I was like, "It's going to work. There's going to be a blessing here." And she goes, "Well, I don't know. I don't know about this." I was like, no. I was like, "There's going to be a shower of blessings. Don't worry." Went to work that night, and all of a sudden, the enemy started coming over me and saying, "You know what? I can't believe you told her that. You told her that, what if it doesn't start? What if that's just your imagination talking to you? What if it's this, that, and the other thing?" I thought, no. In the name of Jesus, there will be another miracle. Went out there in the morning. Or either I got off work or went out there in the morning. Sometime it was, the sun was shining. Unlocked the car. Dome light came on. I was like, "Oh, that's great news." My mom was out there. She goes, "Put the key in the ignition. Turn it on. See if it works." I thought, God, put it in there, turned it. After 5 months of sitting, turned right over. I was like, praise God. I got out of the car and just started almost dancing around the whole thing. I thought, God did a miracle. God did a work. He can make the oceans. He can move the mountains. And you know what? For little old me, he decided to make a car work. The one who created the universe, the sun, and the moon. He decided for little old me, because I mean so much to him, that he would make a little car work. A little car to start. And I thank God for that. I thank God for the miracles. I thank God for the experiences. I thank God for the Holy Spirit starting to minister to me more and more in my walk with Christ.
Good morning. This message today, I guess it pierced my heart. And maybe as we pray that God give us a heart of flesh, that the message could penetrate in the heart, is going to do an effective work of change. And the main thing was about prayer, because I know that we have a lot of burdens. When we look at the news, we look at the things going on around us and family problems or self needs. But to pray with desperation, actually, like Jesus said to the disciples before when he was at Gethsemane, watch and pray. Don't let temptation come. I don't want to, I am quoting it, but so you don't fall into temptation. There is something about prayer that is a desperate prayer. And I believe that there is a need to know that we need to ask God to give us that supplication and grace for desperation when we need to pray. When we look at the things going around us, but it doesn't affect us directly, we kind of say, oh, Jesus, help them. But when you said about the judgment coming, how would you pray if you have your children in an area where the earthquake can come? It's not in fear, but it's in the burden of supplication and grace, and that connection with the Father through the Holy Spirit, and to receive the confidence that God heard me, and somehow in his higher way, in his perfect way, he's going to answer and protect those that may be in danger. How much can that work if you really believe that? It's not like, oh God, I hope everything will be all right. I hope that doesn't happen. But there is a danger around us, and the prayer must be really desperate prayer for what we need, oh God, to intervene in our lives. And I have to confess that I have not done that. I have prayed, but I remember praying in the old times when my children were little. I would just pray until I knew that there was a connection somehow in my spirit, that there was a lifting. Now I haven't done that. And I was thinking, we are living in the time that we don't really want to get into that moment, because there are so many other things that we may want to do, good things maybe. And then, of course, the flesh is weak. The flesh is weak. So this one scripture here, I just wanted to read. I mark it down. The efficient prayer of the righteous man availeth much. So when praying with faith that God will hear us and that prayer will be answered, that God is able to answer that burden that we may have. For instance, for myself, I really think about earthquakes in California, but it's like, God, please have mercy on us. But if you really think about, if you love your children or you love someone that is in an area of danger, how much would you go and help them if they need any financial need? How much would you go and drive there if they're sick and you want to be with them? I know that I would do that for my children, but I'm praying enough that God would intervene and give them that protection and make them look upon him and call upon him so he can answer them and show them their salvation. Or I'm just going and walking there and saying, oh, I hope, I hope. There is something about prayer. And I know that we do a lot financially to help our children. We do a lot of physical things to make them feel good. But we don't pray enough. And if we help them momentarily to have some good times, but something really happened that we will need only the intervention of Almighty God, I wouldn't want to be there and say, oh, Father, I'm sorry. I couldn't watch for an hour and pray and fell into temptation and did something else. And that was my heart today, and it's my testimony that I'm praying that God really will take over so I can get in touch with Him and pray not only for the things that I know are in my burden, but those other things concerning my own life and other things in the nation. So that's my testimony. Thank you.
I'm Jeanette. I've known John and Ina for many years, and I do live in the Pacific Northwest. It's right on the border of British Columbia and the state of Washington, just 5 miles to the border. What happened is that, maybe some of you know Betty Musladen. Well, John was trying to get a hold of me because I used to do graphics for him and on the Dove. And I haven't been in this area for 22 years. So it's good to be here. I really am impressed with this place. I'm impressed with what God has done with John and his wife. I really mean it. The Lord is in the midst. And I pray for you guys. I have listened to you on the webcast. I was helping, John was trying to get a hold of me. He didn't even know where I was. And then found out that I was in the Pacific Northwest. And I was helping with the graphics. He was very gracious, and he had given me a big monitor, 24-inch, along with the right software to work with it. So I've been praising the Lord for that. Anyway, one of my favorite verses is, "And they overcame by the word of their testimony, the blood of the Lamb, and did not love their self-life to the death." And that's, following Jesus. I became a Christian when I was around 5 years old. My dad's just nudged me and he said, "Do you want to receive Jesus?" And I go, "Well, yeah." Like, what's new? But I've walked with him, and he truly is becoming sweeter as time goes by. I'm serious. I love him so much. I want to be part of the bride. And so my testimony is that when we speak his word, when we see, wherever I go, I want others to see his joy. I really do. And I find that the whole atmosphere will change. It's like even going to a grocery store. And I love to give high fives. Anyway, it's really interesting because other people will start to see, what does she have that's inside of her? And it's so fun to tell them. That's my testimony. Amen. Praise the Lord.
All right, thank you. I do want to thank Bob this week for sending me that little email about the CHP officer that arrested this guy for reading the Bible in Hemet, California. So I just wanted to put that out to you. He was there before the DMV opened, him and a couple guys, and they were just reading the Bible, and the CHP came and took his Bible and arrested him. And so I just put that out, you know, you could stand there with your girlfriend and make out, or you could, you know, do whatever, but you can't read the Bible. And then there was a organization that stepped up to the plate to defend him, and they filed suit against the CHP in federal court and against those officers personally, I believe, for violating their civil rights. So that's there's a war going on for your freedom of speech in this country. Okay, any more testimonies this morning? Okay, I'm going to close. Father God, thank you for this day and for our many blessings. We thank you for the word that we heard here today. We thank you for the facility that you have provided, and we thank you for the rent money that's landed here today. And we thank you also, Lord, for next month's rent to be paid speedily. And that we can continue to go forth. We know that we will, because we know how you are, that you always deliver. So we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for your blessing upon each person as they go their way today, and to help us throughout the week to keep our lives where they need to be, Lord, and to move in the right direction. We have choices to make all the time. So we thank you, Father, for discernment to stay on the right track. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.